thank the Lord this morning and for His goodness, for who He is, for what He has done in all of our lives, whether we recognize it or acknowledge it or not. The Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful friend. He sticketh closer than any brother. And we would all have to testify this morning that the Lord has been good. I also want to thank the Lord for what He's doing that we may not be aware of. And the things that are in our life that may be agitating us or frustrating us, even the Lord works in those things. And I want to thank the Lord for what He's going to do in the future. We serve a God who neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's always aware, He's always alert, and He's always working in our lives. And I thank the Lord that because of Him, I am who I am, and I'm where I'm at because of Him as well. So thank the Lord Jesus. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs. And I want to say welcome to our visitors. If you're visiting with us, I want to say you are our special guest. And just make yourself at home. So good to have you this morning. And got quite a few announcements I'd like to make. And Brother Randy has one in just a moment. And some prayer requests, things like that. We're trying to be too long with the commercial part of side of church here. But we will toss it back to Brother Allen in just a few moments. First of all, I just want to say hello, December. It is December. It is the countdown to Christmas Day. And time is flying by. And while I'm talking about Christmas, please remember our Calvary Baptist Church Christmas Tree of Remembrance. Purchase an ornament, if you like, and place it on the tree in remembrance of someone that has gone on to be with the Lord, or just someone who's still with us, special to your heart. You can do that as well. It's just a great time, a wonderful type of therapy for those who have sent loved ones home. But at the same time, it's just an opportunity for everybody to partake as well. And so remember that. Also, remember as we make our way into the month of December, we've got several things going on. I will say that on next Sunday morning, we're going to have our Christmas communion time that we have each Christmas. And so for those who may be wondering, you may not, but for those who may be wondering about germs and things like that, because, you know, originally you'd pass the bread, you'd pass the cup, it goes to everybody's hands. Well, during the COVID situation, we purchased the 2-in-1 cups, and has the juice, it has the bread on top, or a thin layer there, and then it has the bread on top of that with a layer over that. And so we pass those out, and we partake the bread, we partake the cup, and so it's a very, very clean way of doing it if you're concerned with that. So we're going to be doing that again. Remember that on next Sunday morning, if you would. And then following for the ladies, Calvary Ladies Union, they'll be meeting just after that service and downstairs in the fellowship hall for the luncheon. Also, remember on the 17th, our evening service, this will be our Christmas program. What time do we normally have evening service on Sundays? Can anybody tell me? Okay. On this particular day, we're going to have it at 6, at 6 o'clock. So please remember that. I set you up so that you could, that could really sink in. We will be having service that Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and it's going to be a great service. Please, please be here for that on the 17th. I do want to mention, I've said as of late on Wednesday, December the 20th, over at Calvary's Children's Home, we will be having our 7 o'clock service there, but it'll be some kind of drama slash performance. Am I getting close, Miss Darlene? Something along those lines. I know it's beautifully arranged, and so don't miss that. Please make plans of going over there. I think this will be a nice touch leading up to Christmas, doing something a little different. And also those who have never been to the campus over there, this will be your opportunity to check it out, to see what all God is doing and has done over at our children's home. So remember that. Yes, ma'am. 6:30. Okay, thank you. Thank you. 6:30 on that Wednesday. And so so make a mental note of that at the same time. Again, there's so much going on. I do want to say also the second Thursday of the month will be the ladies' prayer brunch. Christmas theme. Bring a dish. There'll be Christmas singing, the Christmas story, for those of you ladies who are interested in coming to that. Please come to that. If you're not interested, be interested. Why don't you come to it? It's a great time. I'm telling you, you will walk away feeling blessed. And so thank the good Lord for the ladies who have put that together. Remember that. All right, I gave you my announcements first. I'll give you the prayer request next. I normally do the prayer request first, but one more announcement. Christmas offering. The Christmas offering will also be on the 17th. And we will do that in the morning service, but also don't feel locked into just that morning service. You can give that evening, you know, with your Christmas gift the very next Sunday. Hey, you can bring your Christmas gift 365. I mean, you know, any day of the year if you want to, any Sunday at least that we're here. But the 17th will be our Christmas offering. This is an opportunity to just give above and beyond a tithe. And to just say thank you, Jesus, for coming, for dying for us. And the money will go into the church general fund to help continue to keep things operating around here, because things don't operate around here without money. It takes money. And so remember that. A few things I want you, a few people to remember this morning. Remember Brother Larry Bennett in your prayers. He went to the doctor the other day, and they've detected another spot on his throat there in the voice box area, I believe it is. The doctor called him back immediately after that appointment and wanted him to go for a CAT scan, actually. And so he went to the VA for a CAT scan, and he's at his mom's house right now, but he's going for a follow-up, I believe it is, on the 7th of this week. And so just remember him in prayer, whatever's going on. You know, that the doctors will take care of that and that the Lord would touch him. Also, Brother Don Rich and Miss Carla are going to be hanging around for a bit longer, in which we're thankful for. But Brother Don went, of course, he's been going back and forth to the doctor since he's been here. That's the reason why he's here. They are here. But he has to go for more testing. I believe the testing dates are the 8th of December, the 11th. Of December. He has to have a heart monitor, I believe, on the 11th placed, the 8th for testing, ultrasounds, things like that. I'm thinking they may be testing and checking the carotid artery even. And so he's on some medication to help clear these things up to see if it works or not. So just remember the Rich family as they're here. They want to be back in Peru where their mission is, but thanks be to God, as Brother Don said, that he has a couple pastors there that are holding things down and doing wonderfully while they're out. But remember them in your prayers. Claudia Darby had a biopsy this week, and she's awaiting results. So please remember her. And also a good friend of ours, Ricky, is undergoing chemo for a mass that's cancerous. And so please remember him. He's at home this morning resting up, trying to get better. So please remember Brother Ricky. All right, Brother Randy, you got an announcement to make, and then after Brother Randy, we will go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Hold on, just 1 second. Can we? Do we have to be able to throw it on the screen? Throw that up on the screen, guys. We got a very happy, a special birthday this morning, Brother Alan Clayton. Happy birthday! Where's it? There it is. Hey, he's pointing at y'all. He's pointing at y'all.
Oh my goodness, I can't top that. Not even going to try. I'm not tall enough to top it anyway. But I'm up here this morning for those of you who do not know. Most of you won't know because you don't enter in through the fellowship hall. But we have in the past, about last 2 weeks or so, been working on having an entry system put in downstairs. It's actually a door lock to be able to keep that door locked when we're in service, when we're not here. But it has to have a code to be able to get in, okay? So what I need you to do, if you would, everybody can take out your phones all the time. We're going to let you take out your phone in church. I'm going to give you a number, and it's not your code. It's going to be my phone number. Take down this number, text me with your name, and I will send you your personal code for you to be able to get into the fellowship hall if you need to get into the fellowship hall, okay? And if you never enter that way, you don't ever plan to go that way, don't waste your time. It won't do you any good. You can't get in anywhere else. Everything else is still keyed. But we've done this for a reason, guys. We've had some issues, and we just want to keep our church family and our kids and everybody safe, okay? And so we felt like it was something we needed to do, and we've done that. So here's the number. Ready? Real simple. 470-460-9985. If you will shoot me a text message with your name in that, I'll be more than glad to send you your code. That way you'll have it on your phone. I'll have it logged. If you ever lose that number or can't remember it, see me. I will give it back to you or text me. I'll be more than glad to send it back to you. It's a very simple code to work, guys. It works really, really, really well. But the key is, and I'm going to tell you this for the lockup guys and everybody else, please, when you leave the building, do not put your key in the door and lock the door. Mess up everybody else trying to get back in. Thank y'all so much for your help.
All right. I was off schedule here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for all the things that we have going on here at the church. God, we like to keep things moving along and going forward. And we thank you for that, that we can have a full schedule, have things to look forward to. We do pray for all these requests. You know who needs what, Lord. We just lift these up to you one by one. Doctor's appointments that your people are going to go to. Doctor's appointments they have went to. Those recovering from surgery, those that have to have surgery. I just pray that you would be with every person, every life, in all those situations. Lord, I pray that you would reveal some of these health problems that some are going through so that they could get those things corrected and go on about life serving you. And Lord, we pray for the service this morning. I pray that you would touch the choir. Father, I pray when it comes time for the preaching that you would touch the preaching. And Lord, we have gathered ourselves together this morning to hear from you. And so I pray, God, that you would speak loud and clear and help us also receive what you have for us this morning. We love you. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Choir, would you stand with me? Let's sing a chorus of Jesus. There is just something about that name. Seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. I apologize for the voice this morning. I've had quite the week, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If I don't get right up on you and speak to you this morning, I'll try my best to stay away from everyone. I'll tell you this, I don't have COVID, okay? Just, a winter, fall, summer, cold, whatever you want to call it, because the seasons seem to change by the day. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and you just continue to pray for us. We really need to get a voice back, good and strong, because we have a program to work through here in a few weeks, and the choir would surely appreciate your prayers. Please be here for that evening service at 6 o'clock on the 17th, and invite someone to come with you. I believe it'll be something a little different than we've done in the past, and I hope that you enjoy it, but we're very excited about it. We just need your prayers to get this program underway and get things done. So please remember that in prayer. So good to see Brother Jeff in the house of the Lord with us this morning. God's good. Amen. And we just thank him that he's able to bring us through things such as what Jeff's gone through, and it's good to see you this morning. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. Please remember all the prayer requests and all the announcements this morning. And let's go to him again in a word of prayer. Brother Ceylon, would you take us forward in a word of prayer this morning?
all about his precious blood that saves me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the soul that was born away so that you and I could
appreciate the Lord this morning. God gave the best for the worst. He gave the best for the worst. And I'm glad He did. I'm glad that He gave His Son for us and the whole world. And what a gift salvation is. A gift that keeps on giving, never expires. What a blessing this morning. Appreciate the singing. And from the choir, I'm glad I'm part of the choir. Appreciate the song Lily sang this morning. I like the backdrop that was playing, showing while she was singing. And filled with joy this morning. We had her Christmas program at her school on Friday night, Grace Christian Academy. I want to tell you what, about come unglued. It was so good. And several had parts. She had a part. Of course, her and Caitlin and some others sang together, friends from school. And then the children's choir, I believe it was the whole elementary school. I don't know, my goodness, 60, 70 in that choir, 75. Hard, just solid, loud. Love it. And I thank God that not only He saves those who ask Him to, but He gives them a salvation they can feel. This has nothing to do with the message. I'm just getting my nerve up to preach this morning. But the little boy was flying a kite one day, and it was cloudy. And dad walks outside, says, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "Well, son, I don't see no kite." He said, well, Dad, you can't see it, but you can feel the tug on the string." And I'm glad that's what salvation is. Not only God saves, but He gives you something you can feel. This isn't dead religion this morning. This isn't a form of godliness. We are here to worship Jesus. It's not religion. Religion is spelt D-O. Something you have to do to achieve salvation. But Jesus is spelt D-O-N-E. Done. All you have to do is accept it. Repent of your sin. Turn to God. Ask Him to save you. He's not wanting and waiting for you to clean your life up before you come to Him. He wants you the way you are now. And what a blessing it is to celebrate Jesus, not just around Christmas time, but the whole year long. All right, if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, turn to Exodus chapter number 13, if you would. Exodus chapter number 13. I'm going to be frank with you while being Justin. And I wrestled all day yesterday with what to preach this morning, sometimes studying. It's there. Sometimes it's there before I study. The thoughts are there. And then sometimes, I mean, it's hard rowing, trying to get something going. And so I got up early this morning with nothing to preach. And I went and got my prayer chair, my garage. And I just told the Lord, I said, "God, here I am." I said, "I need to get this under control and out of the way." And about that time, a peace came over me, and I concluded my prayer, but I wanted to go hang a few ornaments on the Christmas tree. You can call me crazy, you can call me, you know, bonkers, whatever, but I'll tell you what, God confirmed the message this morning whenever I was hanging ornaments on the Christmas tree this morning. And God has a way of bringing things. I think we have to get out of our own way sometimes. And so Christy came down this morning, and I was hanging up ornaments on the tree, and she's like, "Okay." And I said, "Well, hey, I wanted to do this morning. It distracted me from knowing what to preach this morning." And I said, "God gave me my message." We've shared some things from these verses before a few times in the going on six years we've been here. But I really feel compelled to share some things again from Exodus chapter number 13. God's people have been in Egypt for 430 years under the dominion and control of the evil and cruel pharaohs of those days. That's what's taking place here. And we know that the children of Israel, they were slaves. They had taskmasters that would be over them. And the Bible says that they were made to serve with rigor. They were dealt cruelly. And they were serving these taskmasters with harshness. They were going through a terrible time being slaves, is what I'm trying to say. Finally, Pharaoh begins to understand by the plagues that were sent out that it's in his best interest to let the people of God go. And it was on that last event where the death angel passed all through the land of Egypt, smote the firstborn of all the households, those who the blood was not applied to the doorpost. And so Pharaoh says, I'm going to let y'all go after this. And so we know that he let them go. He let them go. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17 of Exodus 13. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. And notice this, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. That's going to be our two verses this morning. That's a backdrop of what's taking place. I do want you to notice that God begins to lead and guide the Israelites out of Egypt on this exodus. That's what an exodus is. It's coming out of. And they're on their way. He leads them, beginning to lead them into Canaan land, the place that God has given them to live. This would be home. This would be home base. And also I want to say that in between Egypt and Canaan was the land of the Philistines. And we see here in verse 17, the Bible says that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. It was the quickest way through the land of the Philistines for these children of God to get home. Yet God did not choose the quick way. He didn't choose the way that made sense to a lot, but God chose the long way. God, this morning, He isn't interested in accomplishing anything quick. Don't get me wrong, we serve a God that is quick. And He can do a lot real fast, but on the same token, we serve a God who isn't necessarily interested in accomplishing things quick-like. He has a plan. He has a purpose for everyone's life here. And while we see everything and it takes so long to get things done, and we want the wheels to turn, we want things to be different. In God's economy, He is working, but it's just taking a little while to get accomplished. This morning, with that thought in mind, I want to preach for a little while on this subject, the long way home. The Long Way Home. Another good title would be, Why God Doesn't Give Shortcuts. Why God Doesn't Give Shortcuts in Life. You may be at a place where you're praying about something. You want something to happen. You need something to happen. You've asked God about it. You've believed Him that He will meet your need in this situation. Yet it's taken time. Yet the days turn into weeks, and weeks turn into months, potentially even turn into years in your situation. So why doesn't God give shortcuts? Why does God take us the long way at times to get things accomplished in His will? Why is that? Well, let me just say before we get into the message that when a person meets Jesus, immediately they are enlisted in His school. And God begins to teach lessons. If He was just a quick God, then after salvation, He would just take us home. There'll be no need for us to be here. But we are enlisted in His army. We are soldiers of the cross. He is our captain and commander, and He has marching orders while we're here. So this morning, in like manner, the people of God were on an exodus out of Egypt and into Canaan land, but God did not take them the short way. And so there were some things that they had to learn first before arriving at home. There were some things that God wanted to teach them. And I do want to say this morning that while we are on our journey home, there's some things that God wants to teach us along the way. The long way home. Number one, He taught them about His protection. Look again, if you would, in verse number 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. They were not ready for the short way. They were not conditioned to walk through enemy territory the shape that they were in. They just came out of Egyptian bondage, beaten and battered. Taskmasters had them as slaves. And God delivered them out of that horrible situation and those terrible conditions. And for God to take them the short way would be a negative thing for them. They weren't ready for battle. I mean, there were giants in the land of Philistine. There were men that were renowned, men of war that were there. God's people were in bondage in Egypt for 430 years. Again, they were in slavery with all those harsh conditions. They were weak mentally. They were weak physically, and weak they were spiritually. They were in no position to fight with these warriors of the Philistines. The very sight of these warriors would have intimidated Israel, and they would have wanted to go back to Egypt. Did you know sometimes in life that God does not lead us the short way in life because we're not ready for that short way? There are things in our pathway that God sees, that He knows that if we face those challenges with where we're at right now, spiritually, mentally, physically even, that we would crumble. It may even drive us back to the world because of how intense those challenges would be. And so the next time you pray for something or pray about something and God doesn't answer immediately, just be thankful that He is teaching you, and most likely He is protecting you from something. God, He leads us the long way home. Again, the long way home meaning heaven, but also the long way home meaning the thing that you want solved and the problem you want completed. God has a protection plan in mind. Could you just imagine these weak Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage? Beaten, battered, bruised, mentally, just weak, fatigued. And now they're going, God says, okay, let's go this way. It's only, and by the way, it was only like maybe a week's day journey to get home, going to the land of the Philistines. And can you imagine them walking that way and all of these men of war coming after them and giants and all this artillery and weaponry? And they would see those things and they would immediately turn around and run back. God protects us, church. The thing that you're praying about that isn't answered yet, just trust God that He knows better. He may be protecting you from something really big. And so we see that He taught them about His protection. God protects us so much in our lives. He takes a while to get where He wants to be with us. He takes His time, but He does it because He loves us so much, He protects us. The long way home, or God doesn't give shortcuts because He wants to protect us from some things. Let me mention a second thing. Not only He taught them about His protection as they were leaving Egypt and on their way to Canaan, but He taught them about His presence. Notice, if you would, in verse number 20, Exodus 13. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. This is a lesson on God's presence. God could have led them the short way to Canaan, and even if they survived that battle, they would have learned nothing about the leadership of Almighty God. Think about it. He said, I'm going to give a cloud over your head during the day. We're not going the short way, we're going the long way. I'm protecting you, but I'm going to put a cloud over your head. This cloud is going to direct you where to go, but also this cloud is going to keep you cool in those desert heats. And then when it gets nighttime, I'm going to have a pillar of fire there to guide you by night, but also it's going to keep you warm because of the cool nights in the desert. And so God was teaching them. He was teaching them how to follow Him, keeping their eye on the cloud by day and keeping their eye on the fire by night. And because of the cloud, they were cool at day. And because of the pillar of fire at night, they were warm at night. They learned how to follow Jesus, and they learned that Jesus can warm them and cool them and take care of them. All of this happened because of the long way they went home. You're not at your destination right now. You want things to get better in your life. You can't wait to take the tiger by the tail. Can I tell you to be patient? To wait on the Lord, because Jesus is wanting to teach us a little bit about His leadership. There's days when we don't feel good and we feel like giving up, but it's sweet Jesus that comes along and encourages our hearts with His sweet Holy Spirit in the night seasons when we're discouraged and depressed and our warm tears hit the pillow. He's the one that comforts us. If life was just to get saved and go home with no problems, we would know absolutely nothing about the Comforter. This morning, God is directing you. God is guiding you through the good times, through the bad times, because He wants you to keep your eye on Him. He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to learn how to follow Him. And so we see that as we take this long way home, He teaches us lessons about His presence. Again, this would lead and guide them on their journey. Verse 21, there's the cloud and the fire. It would lead. It would It went before them. Verse 21 again, the fire itself, it would illuminate, give light in the night. Has it ever been dark in your life before? Has things ever been so confusing and you've been so bewildered in mind? As one lady reported one time going through a terrible tragedy, she said, I didn't even recognize the ground under my feet. Have you ever been there? Well, Jesus, he leads us the long way because he wants us to feel his warm embrace in the bad times. He wants us to know that we can count on him. We can trust in him. So there's the fire at night, the cloud at day. Verse 22, the cloud, the fire, it would continue. Look at verse 22. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. And so he was with them for the long haul. This morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us for the long haul. We have friends at times, and listen, at times that are with us, and they hang with us, they're there with us, but let some kind of hard time come along. Not all of our friends. You have some, I have some that are there through the thick and the thin, but there's some, when the hard times come, they're gone. There's friends sometimes when the hard times come, they rise up against you and they blame you and they fuss and fight and all of these things. But Jesus is not that way. He is a friend who is in it for the long haul, the long way home. He will see you through this morning. A friend that can be relied on, a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And so he taught them about his presence the long way home. And so the Lord takes us the long way at times in life because he wants to teach us about his presence. This is why he doesn't give shortcuts. Otherwise, we wouldn't know anything about the leadership of the Lord. There's a third thing I want to mention. We see he taught them about his protection. He taught them about his presence. But then he taught them about his power because of this long way. His power. Chapter number 14, if you would. And in just a moment, verse 13 and 14. Israel didn't go far down the road until Pharaoh changed his mind and went after them, didn't he? The Bible says that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. You say, why in the world would God do that? Why in the world would Pharaoh let the people go and then, through the providence and will of God, hardened Pharaoh's heart? The Bible says that he hardened his heart. He went after the people of God after letting them go. The people of God had nowhere else to go until they came to the Red Sea, and there was no way to get across the Red Sea. They couldn't go to the left. They couldn't go to the right. They were at this dead end. But you see, even at this dead-end place in their life, God had a plan. If he would have taken them the easy way, they would have never seen what they're about to see and experience. That is the parting of the Red Sea. There are some monumental obstacles in your life this morning. You can't go to the left. You can't go to the right. You have nobody to rely on. Family's not there. Friends have forsaken you. The only person that's standing with you is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, while all men forsook me, God stood with me. And God strengthened me. And this morning, that's exactly what God wants to do. He wants you to show He wants to show you his power in dead-end situations. Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Listen to this. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. You're here this morning, you're wanting to quit. Someone else may be here this morning that is aggravated at your situation. The Bible says that it's God's will to move forward through your situation. You can't run from it anymore. You can't avoid it. You can't put it off. There's no more alibis available to give unto God the reason why things are the way they are this morning. He wants you to go forward. But yet it was a dead-end situation. Verse number 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. That's not supposed to happen. There is not supposed to be dry ground in the midst of the sea. But because God was in the equation, there was dry ground in the midst of the sea. There was a path that was available. The waters were upon a heap, verse 22. And the children of Israel went to the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. You say, what happened when Pharaoh were chasing them on dry ground in the sea? I'll tell you what happened. God caused their wheels to fall off. Look what it says in verse 25. And took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily. That just simply means that God knocked the wheels off the thing that was chasing them in so much it burrowed down in the dirt, in the ground. And even in the mud. Of course, the Bible says it was dry ground, so there wasn't no mud. There is a real enemy who loves chasing God's people. And he will chase us, and he will try to get us in positions while we're vulnerable. But if we just trust in the Lord and to know that he's all-powerful and lean on him, he will knock the wheels off your enemy. What's chasing you this morning? God can knock the wheels off of it if he wants to, if you let him. Verse number 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. God taught them about his power. But it didn't come through giving them a shortcut. It came through the long way. Y'all with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, there's a reason why things are the way they are in your life. Because God is wanting to teach you something. He's wanting to teach me something. God knocked their wheels off. God buried them in the sea. The Lord took Israel the long way home so he could show them his power. Then let me say this. Not only the Lord taught him about his protection, the Lord taught him about his presence, the Lord taught them about his power, but then he taught them about prayer. Now don't turn me off now. Don't turn me off because we're talking about prayer. I mention prayer sometimes. It seems like a lot of people go to sleep. Listen, this isn't lay me down, my Lord, a soul to keep. You know, this ain't a night-night prayer I'm talking about. Look in chapter 15, if you would. They go to the Red Sea. God shows his power. And then there's another lesson to be learned going this long way. It's about prayer, more specifically to Moses, the leader. Verse 22 of Exodus 15, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Thank you, Brother David Henderson, if you could hear me wherever you're at, because I got some good cold water. with ice. They were released from Egypt, went through the Red Sea. They're journeying onward to home. And then someone says, guys, are you thirsty? Man, I'm thirsty. They were thirsty, and they found no water. Verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And so they finally found some water. And hey, guys, we got water. Here is water. Here is water. Here is water. Here is water. Oh, golly. Y'all taste that? That's bitter. One time I preached on the waters of Marah at a chapel service at Grace. And early that morning, I got a jug. We had pickles in it. And it was halfway full of pickle juice. And I brought it to the school and put pickle juice on there, used it for illustration, just kind of get an idea of what it might have been like being thirsty and drinking pickle juice. Now, some people may like pickle juice, but when you're thirsty, you don't want to chug a bunch of pickle juice. And I'm not saying that was the land of pickles and there was pickle juice there. But I could just imagine they were thirsty. They bent down. They seen water. Here is water. Let's drink. We can't drink this. It's bitter. It's bitter. There are places in life that we arrive at that are bitter. Bitter. You remember when Jesus was in the garden and he was making his way to the cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, the wine press, olive press? He looked into the cup and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The Son of God said that. Because he knew what his job was. He knew what the plan was. He was getting ready to give his life. One who knew no sin was getting ready to be made sin. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. And in like manner, there are places in life we go to. They're bitter. Someone betrays you is a bitter experience. Someone lies on you. Someone plots against you. Someone has malicious intent against you. That's a bitter experience. Even when you a loved one passes, it's a bitter experience. You lose a job. You need a job. It's a bitter experience. Things aren't right at home. It's just a bitter experience. But you see, this morning, God knows how to turn our bitter water sweet. Because the Lord leads us sometimes to bitter waters so that we can experience the bitter, sweet experience. Is anybody, don't raise your hand, but is anybody here bitter this morning? You're bitter at how things turned out. You're bitter. You may be even bitter at God this morning. But you're here because you don't want that feeling to be there, but you just can't help that you disagree with what God has allowed to happen. You're bitter at your spouse. You're bitter at your kids. There may be someone here bitter. Maybe someone watching on Facebook that's bitter. But let's read on a little more. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Moses, you led us out of Egypt, and now we don't have nothing to drink. You dummy. You're bad. We don't like you. Oh, we were all about you when you first started. Because you were leading us somewhere we've never been before, or at least a long time. And now they got a bump in the road and they're mad at Moses. They murmured against him. Look at verse 25. The man of God cried unto the Lord. Listen, Moses was a man who murdered somebody. Moses could have murdered when they murmured. Because God got in him, he cried unto the Lord. He could have murdered when they murmured. But he knew that he had that possibility. So he just said, you know what? I'm just going to cry to the Lord. I can't murder him, so I'm going to cry to the Lord. I'm going to ask God what to do. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. You've heard this before. Which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. This was specifically for Moses, it was a prayer teaching moment. They murmured to him, and Moses, he knew he couldn't take matters into his own hands, and he wanted to do the right thing, so he asked God, and God showed him a tree. He didn't ask any questions. Moses didn't. God showed him a tree. He got the tree, cast it to the waters. He said, y'all drink now. They went down and drank. Oh, wow. This is very good, Moses. Did I mention to tell you you're the best leader ever? Did I mention that, Moses? That you are such a good leader? You're great, Moses. They drank those waters. They were made sweet. And we know this morning that this is a typology of the cross of Jesus here. There are times, sure enough, in life, I experience it myself when we are at intersections of bitter waters, but when we apply the cross of Calvary, God can make our bitter waters sweet. Home run out the door. The bittersweet experience. This isn't something learned going the short way in life. This is something learned going the long way in life. This is something God wants to teach His children to hang in there, keep going, and He can make bitter situations better and sweet along the way. One more thing and we'll be through. He taught them about prayer, more specifically Moses. But then he taught them about his provisions. Chapter 16. Chapter number 16. We know the children of Israel, there was disobedience in their life, and we know that ultimately for unbelief, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But even though they were disobedient and not believing that God was able to give them the victory in the land of Canaan to drive the enemy out, we know that God still fed them. Chapter 16, in verse number 4, listen to this. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. We know based on this situation of this manna that God did rain down the bread. He rained down from heaven. We know that this continued the whole 40 years until they made it into Canaan land. Disobedient in all, God still took care of them. And listen, there's times in life when we're doing our very best to follow the leadership of the Lord. We grow impatient and we try to stay on the right path and make the best decisions that we possibly can, and none of us are perfect. We stray, we mess up, we fumble. There's times of failure, but it doesn't change God taking care of us, because His love is unconditional while our love is conditional. He continued to feed them. The Lord took care took Israel the long way to Canaan to teach them that he is faithful to provide. Listen, if he would have led them right there to the land of Canaan through the land of the Philistines, they would have never experienced the manna every day. They would have never experienced that. It talks about their shoes never wore out. God always took care of them each and every day. All these things happened because the Lord was taking them the long way home. I don't know what your case is this morning. It's none of my business. It's none of anybody's business here what your situation may be. But the Lord's here, and if you feel like you need to come this morning with nobody pointing, nobody laughing, it ain't like that here. If you feel like you need to come, you come and do personal business with God, because that's what it's all about. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for who you are and for what you do, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this message, apply it to the heart that needs it the most. We've shared it before, but I just feel like it was the one for this morning. We love you today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come, won't you come on the first verse? Make it easy on yourself.